Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Jesus said early on in his ministry, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He also said, "Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." What does it mean, suffer little children? What was Jesus saying? The word suffer has various connotations. The word as used here is not implying suffering or hardship, but quite the opposite. Jesus was saying, allow or permit the little children to come unto me, because Jesus Christ is a wonderful solace to their souls, just as he is a comforter to all the souls of them that come unto him. The King James Bible uses many elegant expressions that may appear archaic to our common everyday vernacular, but understand this. As a civilization becomes depraved, so does its language. America doesn't need new versions of the Bible, but a return to holiness and restored literacy. So, Indiana, as you awake from your beds this beautiful morning that the Lord has made, rejoice in it and know you have a glorious comforter to bring peace and rest to your soul in the midst of this volatile world. But the question is, who in reality is that comforter, since Jesus is not physically present in the world today, but sits at the right hand of the Heavenly Father? Jesus told his disciples, as recorded in the Gospel according to John, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Jesus has not left the world comfortless, but has brought us abundant hope and peace if only we put our trust in him and in his words. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Godhead, and he will confirm all that Jesus said is of absolute truth. He brings the Bible to life. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is determined by one principle alone, the total loss of self. Selflessness is the source of all virtue in man. In the same way, selfishness is the source of all sin in man. Whatsoever is done out of oneself will be burned up at the day of judgment. What is done out of obedience to the will of God remains. At the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord will not ask how good your work is. He will only ask who does the work, his spirit or your flesh. The Apostle Paul said, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. These are not my words, but the words of the Holy Ghost. Take heed that no man deceive you, and hear what the Spirit saith." May this sermon series, The Messenger, bring you hope and comfort this day. Again, remember, each Sunday here on Freedom 95, a new segment of each of my sermons, about 26 minutes worth, are played with a short overlap of the previous week, to refresh your memory about the prior week's message. The topic of the Holy Spirit is immense, and I pray the Holy Spirit will draw you to listen this morning. The Messenger, Part 17.
The Spirit of God is what brings about liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Okay? I mean, God brings liberty in a country. It's not us. It's not the human flesh. It's not the brilliance of the mind. It is the Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that brings about liberty. And so as we're dealing with the subject of the Holy Spirit, what could be a better topic to preach on 4th of July? Because our nation all stems from the Holy Spirit. And the activity of the Holy Spirit in the individual life and in the collective life of a nation, in the collective life of the church. And so it was the church house doing the thing that God said was pleasing to him, and the singing and the preaching of God's word, and they were living holy, they were living morally, and God was well pleased. And because when God is well pleased, liberty abounded because the Holy Spirit abounded. And we had great revivals in our country. Our country is built on a revival. The Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States come out of the great revival. The revivals birthed this nation. It was the moving of the Holy Spirit. When the jailhouse emptied out, when the crime reduced because people were getting saved and they were doing righteous things and living for God and turning away from the evil ways of the flesh. And so what we want to do and speak about is the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is in reality who we need to honor today on Independence Day. and thank the Holy Spirit for moving in the minds of men, moving in the hearts of men to lead us to the formation of this great country. But it's our duty, it's our responsibility as Americans to preserve and maintain and propagate righteousness and truth and the truth of the Holy Spirit, and to have the blessings of God upon us, to have God happy with our lifestyle and what we are doing in the nation to preserve liberty. Because when liberty is extinguished, when the Holy Spirit is quenched, liberty is extinguished. The light of liberty will go out. The torch on Lady Liberty in Washington, in the Hudson River, will go out. Oh, maybe the statue, but liberty itself will be extinguished. It happened to Israel multiple times. We just have to go to the Old Testament. Israel is an example of how we should or not live, how we should live or not live, depending on what period of time you're looking at and studying Israel. And so the Holy Spirit is what motivates, what moves, how we address it. Remember, we talked about the Holy Spirit is the pneuma of God. Pneuma, where we get the word pneumatic, the breath of God. Here's an interesting verse in John chapter 20. This is after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus went up to the upper room, and this is before Thomas, doubting Thomas, came into the upper room. This was just prior, the first time the Lord Jesus came into the upper room, into the room where the apostles had assembled themselves in John chapter 20. And it says there in verse 22, let's read verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you." That's a small version of the Great Commission. Lord says, as God sent me out to come to you, I am now sending you out into the world. And he says in verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now, did that happen right at that moment? No. Because what did he have to do first? He ascended up into heaven, because we read in the book of Acts, he ascended up into heaven, and then you have the day of Pentecost 10 days later after after he ascended up into heaven. But here you see the Holy Spirit is air or a breath, the breath of God. Jesus being the Son of God, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." So the person of the Holy Spirit is a person. It's he, it's not an it. It is emblematic of the breath of God. The breath of God. And it's just an interesting passage there. "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Now, that's not where Benny Hinn comes and breathes on you and you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's the Lord Jesus breathes on you and you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? You're not slain in the Spirit. You don't start shaking. You don't start falling on the ground and convulsing and, you know, have foam coming out of your mouth and you speak some gibberish language or go around the room screaming. Okay? I've seen it all. I've seen all that can take place in a Pentecostal meeting, in a charismatic meeting. But the importance, we are 244 years into our nation. 244 years. How many remember, you youngsters out there, you don't remember this, but how many remember the bicentennial? How many remember the bicentennial? I was in the Hudson River and watched the parade of old sailing ships and naval ships coming up the Hudson River. Saw and remember the fireworks display on the New York City skyline. It was beautiful. The bicentennial. But so we are 44 years after that. 44 years. 240 years, 44 years. Now, history says a democracy, we're at about the average lifespan of a democracy, of a republic, of a nation, okay? Nations come and go. There are nations that are found in the Word of God that don't exist anymore, like Sodom and Gomorrah, totally wiped off the face of the earth. Okay, when all the nations before the flood, totally wiped out. You know how many understand and heard the age of Aquarius, Atlantis, Atlanta? You know the city that's, you know, they think is under the water. Most likely, they're looking for the age before the flood. The my friends, there wasn't just a little room full of people like this that died in the flood. We're talking about nations upon nations. Some of the great creation scientists says there could have been no problem, because remember, they lived to 900 years old, 600 years old. No problem that there could have been 6 billion people on the face of the earth before the flood. Because there was less disease. The climate was conducive. You didn't have the change of climates. You didn't have the glaciers. So people were producing and reproducing much faster, at a much faster rate, less infant mortality. And you had people, you could see your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa. You know, because they lived to 600 years of age. 900, Methuselah, what? 969. 969 years. So that's a lot of people for God to discipline. So for a nation to be 250 years, you know, you follow the history of Israel from after when they came into the promised land with Joshua, and you go through the Judges, and you go through the book of the Kings, and the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, and you see Israel's constantly angering God, and God puts them into captivity, and then there God brings a deliverer. The whole book of Judges is deliverers, like 7 deliverers that came: Samson, Gideon. You have all those deliverers that Deborah that delivered Israel out of the bondage that they were in by other kings. So what is that's happening is dry rot. Dry rot. You ever hear of dry rot? We have woodworkers in here. You have homes. People have homes. You have sheds. What happens? You get dry rot. What happens? You got to remove boards out because the boards have crumbled and fallen apart, and their structure is destroyed. I have done and replaced lots of old building beams and floor joists and things like that. And we pulled out a lot of beams that were dry rot, that were rotten, and had to re-strengthen it and what they call scabbing one beam with another, a new beam, a brand new beam, and bolting it on in an area where the wood is not rotten out. And so wood rots, boaters, wooden boats are a disaster. You want a nightmare? You want a nightmare? You want a something to sink money into, buy a wooden boat. Buy a wooden boat. You ever hear the expression? The sailor's happiest day of his life is the day he buys the boat. The second happiest day of a sailor is the day he sells the boat. Because it's a sinkhole. It's just you throw especially wooden boats because you're constantly repairing the wood. And even though it's a misnomer to say it's dry rot, it's really because it's not dry. It's because it gets wet and dry, wet and dry, wet and dry, and it breaks down the cellulose, the fibers, the particles that hold the wood together and give it its strength, all that starts to break down. So the wood loses strength, weakens, becomes brittle, breaks down at the core, the structure, the fibers just fall apart. Well, guess what? That can be applied to the church. It can be applied to a nation. Dry rot. Here is a Anglican church father that said many years ago in the 1800s, he was a theologian, he was a professor of Hebrew at Oxford University. His name was Pusey, Dr. Pusey, and prominent Anglican churchman. He said, Christianity has no foe to fear except from within. Christianity has no foe to fear. What did the Lord Jesus say? The gates of hell shall not prevail against my church, right? But Christianity has no foe to fear except from within. A Dr. J.R. Stranton, okay, rhymes with Dayton. His name, so you really say Stratton. It rhymes with the word Dayton. He was a prominent preacher in New York City, but he was born in Evansville. And he pastored Calvary Baptist Church in New York City. And he was involved in many debates in the early 1900s. He debated a famous person, a Unitarian minister in New York City, named Charles Francis Potter. And I think I've mentioned his name before. I'll explain about him a little bit more. But he had a campaign, a strong campaign against the against evolution. It was the anti-evolution campaign in the 1920s that was filtering its way into the schools. He fought with the Museum of Natural History in Manhattan, New York, and said they were wasting taxpayer dollars by propagating evolution. And so this was going on in the 20s. But on his deathbed, he worked tirelessly. He also was one of the first preachers to air his services on a radio station. So he was prominent in the early 1900s. But this is what he said on his deathbed. I am through. I want to sound this note of warning. My departure is at hand. But Frank, he said, Frank, who was Frank? J. Frank Norris, a famous preacher. J. Frank Norris commissioned George Young to start the Indianapolis Baptist Temple. He was the pastor of a church in Texas. There's a book about his life. Wore big 10-gallon cowboy hat, and always had a gun on his side. And at one time, he preached two different churches, Detroit Baptist Temple and Fort Worth Baptist Church in Texas. And he would fly back and forth to those churches. And so he was a prominent preacher, and he birthed our church. How many of you are familiar with John Birch Society? John Birch Society. Have you ever heard of the John Birch Society? Do you know who John Birch was? You know who John Birch was? He was a Baptist missionary. First American to be killed by communists. He was a single man, went onto the mission field in China, and basically he melded himself into looking like and living like the Chinese people and speaking the language fluently. And he was used by the U.S. Army when the Japanese invaded China. It was easy for him to cross enemy lines and then bring back information back to the American soldiers, the Allies and the Chinese, of where the Japanese troop movement was taking place. And the Japanese thought he was just a Chinaman, just a regular common Chinaman. And so John Birch Society bases their name upon him because he was the first American killed by communists. He wasn't killed by the Japanese. He was killed by the communists. After the Japanese left, he was killed by the communist Chinese that came down from Russia. And so why did I bring up Jonathan Birch? John Birch came out of J. Frank Norris's church. And so just a powerful missionary. And he came out of J. Frank Norris's church in Fort Worth, Texas. I forget exactly what it was called. And J. Frank Norris is also the founder of him and several other preachers helped launch the start of the Baptist Bible Fellowship, where Dr. Dixon was part of, and the college that he went to, and my in-laws went to, and Greg went to, and Ellery went to. And so that's the connection. So let me read to you. This is Dr. J.R. Stranton, and he's speaking to J. Frank Norris. I want to tell you, it is not the powers on the outside, but the power of wickedness, the worldliness in the inside, that has broken my heart and life. It is the burdens and conflicts on the inside that have caused my anguish.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.
Saints and